House of the Lord this morning. How you doing?
Good, good.
You sound good. You look good. Do you feel good?
Yes.
I do know this. God is good.
Yes.
Yes, he is. And we thank him for blessing us to wake up and be here this morning, have the right use of our minds. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, yes, yes. If you're visiting with us, you are honored guests, and thank you so much for blessing us with your presence here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We'll acknowledge our visits at the end of our worship service. It's just good to be together. Yeah, many of our college students are home on break, and I know you're saying praise the Lord, and hopefully you have a good break, and some of us are getting close to the end of our work year, our school years, and it's just good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to just dive right in. I had several titles for my lesson this morning, and I'm going to try to give you the one title. The title I'm going to use is Some People You Need to Know in the Bible. Some People You Need to Know. Another title was Give and Live. And has several individuals I was reading about in the Word of God, and there's so many lessons for us to learn from them. And I want to give you a few, not all, but a few, and see if we can glean something from God's Word this morning. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 8. And you stay awake now. Stay awake. I try to keep you up, keep you from sleeping this morning. We came here to worship God, right? Amen. Amen. Listen to Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1. Soon afterwards, he began going around from one city and village to another that he is Jesus, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. That was his message. When Jesus left heaven to come to earth, he came to die for sinners. And I think that's us, isn't it? Yeah, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why some people feel like they're better than. We don't say it, but we act like we're better than somebody else. But when you just boil it down to brass tacks, for all of us, every individual, I don't care what color you are, we all are sinners. The difference is, are you saved or are you lost? But Jesus' message was, it was proclaiming the kingdom. He would say, repent, for the kingdom is near. And the kingdom hadn't arrived when he was on earth because he hadn't died yet. And so if you're here this morning and you are not, and you don't know you're in the kingdom, then you're not in the kingdom. There is something God has told us to do to get in. So you ought to make that priority on your list to know that you are in the kingdom of God. That was Jesus' message. And he proclaimed that message, and he went around every village, everybody who would listen. That's what he taught. And then it says the 12 were with him. That's his apostles. Then it goes on to say, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. And then it names some of the women. And I remember the title of this, Some People You Need to Know. He says, Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza. She was Herod's steward, or Herod's manager, if you will. Herod was the king. And listen, that folk in all walks of life that will listen to the word of God. Politicians, all politicians are not evil. And so there are people in every walk of life, if they'd hear the truth, they would obey the truth. And Susanna and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. And this is in fairly early stages of Jesus' ministry. And so Jesus is healing people. He's proclaiming the gospel. These individuals say, this man is telling the truth. And so they become converts, and new converts, if you will, and they immediately, if you study this further, you see they immediately, it's like they almost just dropped everything. They said, this is the most important thing I can be doing in my life. And if we read a little bit further in Luke chapter 24, verse 10, they were there after Jesus' death. Some of them went to his grave first. And so these women, and it says, while Jesus was on earth, they gave of their private means to support Jesus's ministry. And to me, that's powerful. And God thought it so important for us to know their names and who they were, that he left it in the inspiration of the scripture so that we would know they're not preachers, they're not teachers, but they are supporting the works of God with their own private means. And God wanted us to know who they were. Some people that we should know. There is a lesson in there for all of us. And you don't have to be a preacher to make it to heaven. Amen, somebody. Yeah. You don't have to be a Bible school teacher to make it to heaven. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm telling you, hey, listen, you can be whoever you are, an ordinary person, if you want to call it an ordinary person, but I tell you what, you need to love the kingdom of God. Yeah. And so they were, I would call these the unsuspected givers. They're new converts. They don't know the whole Bible. They don't even hardly know much of the doctrine, but they're listening and learning and they're following Jesus. But yet they were givers to the cause of Christ. Go to Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Luke 10, 1. This was read in your hearing a few moments ago. Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others. Now he didn't name their names. He says 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful. This is Jesus talking 2,000 plus years ago. He said, the harvest is plentiful. What was he talking about? Was he talking about fields of harvest? No, he wasn't talking about fields. He says, out in the world, there are many people who would obey the truth if somebody would teach them. If somebody would tell them the message. And so what he's saying, they are ready. They are ripe for the, and a lot of times we in the world today, now there are a lot of people, the majority of, I'll speak of the United States of America, the majority of adults in the United States of America do not even attend church. Don't attend church. But there are many people who are still seeking answers to life. There are many people who, even if they heard the gospel, they would obey it. But Jesus said back then, there are plenty of folk, but there are few laborers. I wonder if that still applies today. I just like to make it a little bit more personal for us here at the Fieldwater Church of Christ, because we're in it. We can only deal with us right now. You know, we can't say, Brother, what about people? Well, what about us? What about what we can control? Can I ask a private question? You don't have to answer it out loud. Just answer it in your mind. Are you a laborer for the Lord? And I'm not talking about a song leader or working around a table, but the Lord is still looking for workers, because there are so many instances that people are lost without a shepherd, lost without a word. And he said, and in this particular instance, he sends out 70 on a temporary mission trip. That's what it was. It wasn't something that they would be doing forever. If you looked at Luke chapter 9, you see he sent the 12 out. He gave them gifts and he sent them out and he told them to use these gifts and he told them to come back and report to me what you've seen, what you've done. And so he sends this 70 out, and I just thought about it. So they are the called givers, if you will. In other words, they were appointed by the Lord to go out and do this for a period of time. And I just thought about that today. I said, you know, there are time. There should be time. I know if we wait too long, till we're too old, some stuff we won't be able to do. But shouldn't there be a time in our life that we as Christians can be called to do a work for God? A mission, if you will, for God. Who would be dedicated to taking a week, a month, a year, a couple of years, a weekend to do a mission strictly for God? That's something to think about, isn't it? Yeah. You know, we have our own missions, you know. Some of us, we plan our vacation 2 years out in advance. Now we put it in, we plan out, oh yeah, I'm gonna stop here and I'm here. We check the flights, we check the time, we take our work, and we got here and here, and we got, oh yeah, and we got, yeah, yeah. And we go and we stay a week and we stay, you enjoy ourselves, and just everything. And there's nothing wrong with that. Lord have mercy. Thank the Lord when you can take a vacation. I was thinking about, but what we do, we dedicate energy, time, efforts to God. Yeah, he says the laborers, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. And I say that because you're going to hear this again. You will have some opportunities to, you know, we do a domestic mission trip every year here at the Fitwell Church. Some of the guys in our preacher's class, we do some other things. And that's not just for, you know, that's not isolated. If you're a young person, you're going to school, you're going to college, some of you have opportunities. Some of us can look for opportunities. There are some opportunities to be a laborer for the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Think about it. Think about it. Go with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 10, verse 33. Luke chapter 10, verse 33. Most of us should know this story. We should know this story. In the Bible, it says, but a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him. This is. I don't have time to read it all, just for time's sake. You know the story of the Good Samaritan, where this man was walking on the road and he was accosted by whoever, and they robbed him and left him for dead on the road. And two, the priests and the Levite passed right by him, didn't act like they didn't even see him. The Good Samaritan stopped. And the scripture said he was on a journey. He came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. Everybody say compassion. And came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his beast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? You know, the story is read over and over again. And I think we would call him the compassionate giver. This is a man in the Bible that God wants us to know who this is for a reason. And we would call him the compassionate giver. No doubt. He didn't know the man and it's opportunity, but there's a lesson in this for us, not just for him. We kind of uphold a Samaritan, Good Samaritan, as a hero, you know, because of what he did. But you know what? Really, you think about it, for us as Christians, shouldn't it be almost a common courtesy for us? You know, when we see, and I know, but you got to be safe. You got to be safe, and you know, people crazy, and you know, but I'm scared to do that. I understand what you're saying, and I know we have to be wise in our dealings with people. But you know, if you see an opportunity, somebody who is hurt, somebody who is distressed, that ought to be something that we can do. You know, we got so much technology. You don't have to touch the person. You can get on your phone. Call somebody. But so many times we are on our phone and we see opportunities and we don't see them. Not because we don't see them, it's because we don't want to see them. And I just thought, man, maybe God put this in the Bible for us to be compassionate givers as we go about our day, because most opportunities surely don't come on Sunday mornings. They come all times and all walks and different paces and different corners. And I just hope that, I don't know, man, Lord have mercy. Give me the wisdom, Lord, to give me the eyes. Give me the heart to want to be compassionate. My goodness. Man, I had so many. Let me give you another one. Go to Luke chapter 18, verse 22. So we call him the compassionate giver. Luke chapter 18, verse 22. Now, this would be. Now, this man, young man, who asked Jesus, oh, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? What more can I do to inherit the kingdom of God, inherit eternal life? And because he felt like I already been doing stuff. And I want you to read it on your own. And he said, Lord, Jesus, I've obeyed all the Ten Commandments. I've done all of that. But, you know, God knows our true heart. He does know our true heart. And see, it seemed like this man was so proud of his quote unquote religion. Anybody in here? Well, all of us should be proud the right way that we are in the kingdom of God. But he was so proud of his religion that Jesus tested his religion. Yeah. And Jesus, he knew his heart. Some of us, we'll even brag that, you know, yeah, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, and I go to church every Sunday, and I go to Bible class, and you know, bro, I put my money in the collection, and I'm a Christian. Okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah, we need to serve the Lord, don't we? Jesus heard this in verse 22. The Bible says he said to him, "One thing you still lack." Jesus showed it tested. He said, "Sell all you possess, distribute it to the poor." Now, and I know when we see that, man, he said, "Sell all." I don't know, Brother Gary. I don't know. I'd be like, I think I'd have turned around and walked away too. But do you think Jesus would have left him destitute? Do you think Jesus was checking? Look, I know what's really important to you. And I thought about me. I was reading this, and I said, you know, maybe I wonder if it'll affect my faith if my house was taken from me and my stuff, how that would affect my faith. Amen. I mean, not that we wish it. Surely, Lord, please, you don't have to test me. I don't, you know, I'm just talking about this. You don't. But we never know. And you know, some of us are faithful to the Lord. We come in, you know, we got both our cars working and everything. We good. We come into the Lord. But what would happen? How do you really know you really? It's not until you test it. And so Jesus checked him. And you know, it's just amazing how this, I would call him the fake giver. F-A-K-E. Because the man didn't even give Jesus a dialogue. He didn't even ask Jesus, "You mean, can I give half of it? You mean you want me to give it? Wait, Jesus, please explain to me what you say." He didn't even do that. The Bible says he just left. He went away. And he went away sad because he had a whole lot. So Jesus didn't even get the chance to say to him, "Man, I don't want you to sell all you got. I just want you to check yourself and stop putting all your faith in all of this stuff." Yeah. So you found out who he really was. You just was a fake. That's all you were. You know what I hope? I hope, Lord have mercy, I hope my faith is not fake. I just hope I'm not that. I don't think it is, but I, Lord, I hope it's not. And then finally, I want to get to the last one here. I put this is not my last one, but I'll make this as my last since I did it at the 8 o'clock service. So turn them with me to the Luke chapter 19. So we have the unsuspecting givers of the ladies who gave of their private means. We got the call givers, those who were called to a mission. You have the compassionate giver of the Good Samaritan. Then you have this fake man. In Luke chapter 19, verse 2, notice the difference. He says, "And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus." And you read the whole story on your own. He was a chief tax collector. He was a crook. That's what he was. Back in the New Testament times, tax collector. Matter of fact, I hope you don't work for the IRS this morning. Well, if you work for the IRS, that's all right. But you know, even when you mention IRS, we say, "Oh, them are crooks." But we say, I don't know, the government or whoever it is. But he was a chief tax collector, and the scripture said he was rich. Now, notice that we just read one. This man had a bunch of substance. And when he says he was rich, he's talking about his material goods at this time. But those of us that's in Christ, if we realize and understand what we have, we are rich. Amen. But this man had some money. But he was seeking God. I love this. I'm glad this is in the Bible. You don't have to be poor to make it to heaven. Amen. Amen. We can have some nice things I say things, material things, and still have a heart for God. This Zacchaeus, he heard about Jesus. Jesus was preaching the gospel everywhere he went, consistent everywhere he went. He heard about the kingdom. He heard about Jesus' healing, and he went to find Jesus. I say this also to us. There's another lesson in us. If any of us, those of us that are doing the works of God, whether they are, you call them little or small, somebody is going to notice it. And the works of God attract individuals to Jesus. In our neighborhood, wherever you are on your job, if you're doing good works, that attracts people to us. So Zacchaeus went looking for Jesus. He was looking at a crowd. He jumps up in a tree. And of course, Jesus knows everything that's going on. And he says, come out of that. And I'm paraphrasing. Jesus says, listen, today we're going to eat together. Zacchaeus was shocked and surprised that Jesus even noticed him. And he would even say something to him. I love this. Because the Lord knows everybody. Yeah. He loves everyone. And also, I do believe that if a person is seeking the Lord, God is going to make a way for them to hear him. Wherever that person is, and doesn't have to be coming to church. If a person is seeking God, God, I believe, is going to make a way for them to hear about his son, Jesus Christ. And here's how Zacchaeus is. And so Jesus makes this statement to him. And listen to what Zacchaeus said. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. Now notice, Jesus didn't ask him for nothing. Jesus asked the fake here. He said he knew his heart. He knew what was most important to him. He said, well, give it all to the Lord. Zacchaeus, Jesus asked nothing of him. But Zacchaeus, first of all, recognized his undone condition. He knew what he did for a living. And it's like when you know you're in the presence of the Lord, it almost puts a mirror on you. And you almost look at your life and feel like you start thinking about, Lord, I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. I'm not worthy. You know, so you go over, you know, and I know we shouldn't do this with people. We shouldn't do this with people. You ever been, you're trying to live a Christian life, and you know, you people know you don't curse, and you don't, you know, do all these other vices and things. And they know that. And you walk into the room, and you say, oh, y'all be quiet. Don't curse. Mary in here, y'all. But you know what? That's a good thing. It's a good thing when you can have that kind of influence on people without even saying a word. And so you have that kind of influence, and they know, and what they do is they recognize, oh man, you know, they recognize their own faults without you saying a word. Zacchaeus, he recognized Jesus hadn't said nothing to him, then asked him to give nothing to him, and all of a sudden he starts thinking about, Lord have mercy, I'm nothing but a crook. And he said, half of my goods I give to the poor. He said, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, question, do you think he had defrauded some folk? Jesus didn't ask him nothing about that. He's like, Lord, I know I've defrauded some folks. I'll give back four times as much. See, that's the lesson. He's teaching New Testament doctrine. You know, in the Old Testament, they were to give the tithe. They were commanded. They were demanded to give a tithe under the New Testament. In just a moment, we'd have the opportunity to give. Not grudgingly, 2 Corinthians 9:7, not grudgingly nor of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. Here's Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus speaks these words, and listen to what Jesus says to him in Luke chapter 19, verse 9. He says, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of God. Everybody, all of these people, all of these individuals who God wants us to know, to know about them, to know about their lives. Why? So we too can learn what pleases and does not please God. God is good, isn't he? Yeah, and you know what? And he's so patient and loving and kind, and he gives us time to get our lives straight with him. But God gives us all the tools we need to be pleasing unto him. Yeah, those sisters, Joanna and to Susanna and to Mary. You know, we name our kids all kinds of names, and sometimes we name our kids after this person, after that person, and boy, and I know we probably have some Marys in here. Perhaps we have a Susanna and a Joanna in here even this day. And it's beautiful to know in the Word of God that these individuals who were just ordinary people gave to the cause of the Lord. You got the Good Samaritan that we don't even know his name. Bible doesn't call him by name. It gives the example of who he is. We have 70 individuals who dedicated their life. They were called by the Lord to do a temporary mission. And I just hope, I know we have in here right now some individuals, you are waiting on the call. And if the Lord says the same, in time, would the Lord allow us to see 2020, you're going to get a call. Amen, somebody? And if you're a faith giver, pray about it. You know, because we all have faults. Yeah. But let's be transformed givers. Amen. What do you mean transformed? That means that we recognize we got some issues we need to work on in our lives. But when we're with Jesus, we give from the heart. Amen. One of the things you remember, those of you that are members of the Fieldwater Church of Christ, you remember the latter part of last year, the last lesson of 2019 or the first lesson of 2020. You remember we talked about our goals, all the goals for the Fieldwater Church of Christ, and we said we wanted our members to get involved in at least one ministry. We set a goal for baptisms. We also asked the members to give more. You remember that? And we talked about it yesterday at our vision luncheon and our appreciation luncheon, how we're so thankful that that's exactly what you did. Some of you may have seen right along this wall, the back wall, we've started some construction. We've started some remodeling on this side. We are putting nice restrooms on this side. Praise the Lord. Amen. Nice restrooms. We're going to expand the lobby a little bit more and do some things over here to kind of some necessary things over there. And the beautiful thing about it is it may take about maybe 3 months or so, about 3 months or so. The beautiful thing about it, when it's finished, it's going to be paid for. No debt, no loans, no nothing. And that couldn't happen without generous givers. Yeah, yeah. And so we don't put a dollar amount on and say, y'all need to give this $100 or whatever. Just give from where? Yeah, just give from the heart. And you know, we going to be blessed and God going to be glorified. Amen. If you're here today, you're not a child of God, you need to be. Boy, it's the best place to be in the family of God, where individuals who have faults and things that we're working on, we love on each other, but we're trying to get better. We're trying to grow in the Lord, and we're going to follow the Word of God. And if you want to be added to that family, we always have room. You see these empty seats in here? We got some room. Amen. And you come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of all your sins, and you're willing to confess Christ and be baptized in the water, God will add you to his church. And you don't need to fill out an application for us, a credit check, thank the Lord. You come freely, and you'll be added to the body of Christ, the church you can read about in your Bible. If you have a prayer request, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing part? Are you washed in the blood?